Welcome to the Beauty Revival Podcast, where you're taken on a journey of miracles, transformation, and radical beauty, inside and out. I'm your host, MB York. I'm a celebrity makeup artist, esthetician, former spa owner, and product developer. This isn't just another beauty podcast. This is a movement. I'm bringing you my best anti-aging, beauty, skincare, and makeup tips, but we're going way deeper. From Hollywood sets to the supernatural, from breaking free of toxic relationships to unlocking the divine power within you, this is where beauty meets faith and transformation begins. Say goodbye to society's toxic traps and hello to God's mission for your life. So if you're ready, hit play and let's get started. Welcome to Beauty Revival. This is my first in a series of The Ultimate Spa Girl. And actually, it's a lot of tips, stories, and advice for my life as a spa owner from my former life as a spa owner and esthetician and makeup artist. I've spent my whole adult life in the beauty industry. And I have lots to share, so I'm hoping to be a resource if you're just getting out of aesthetic school or maybe starting out as a makeup artist or opening up your own spa, whether you have experience or not. I learned a lot the long, hard, slow way. So if you want to have a quantum leap with riding on my coattails, hopefully I can help you do that. I had two spas, actually. One was in North Scottsdale for 10 years. And then I had a second location, which was at a conference resort in Carefree, Arizona for 5 years. So I actually owned a salon also with the one spa in Carefree. And before that, I started out basically managing salons and spas. So I have a ton of experience, and specifically when it comes to growing the spa business. And I can talk for hours and hours about it and have very specific feelings about it because, as I said, I had to learn it all the really hard way. So today, I'm just going to start out talking about building a clientele, whether it's estheticians or massage therapists. I'll give some tips for massage therapists at the end, but I'll start off with building for an esthetician and give you the backstory. When I first opened my spa, I was a makeup artist, and I had been a makeup artist for many years, and everyone asked me who to go to for facials and massage. So I was originally just going to do a makeup store, and then I thought, you know what, I'll just add those categories to my business. I was next door to a salon, so it worked well where we could promote people back and forth, and having managed salons, I really didn't want to have that aspect of the business. But I learned, which just doesn't happen overnight, and one of the things that I am really strong on is teaching your employees how to sell retail. And it's so important. And I know it's such a touchy subject because whenever I would hire people, a lot of times in the interview, they would say, I just don't like to sell. And for me, that was just a deal breaker because if anyone can learn to sell, and what I call it is basically servicing your clients. And people are going to buy their products somewhere and they should be buying them from you if you're doing a good job. And studies have shown if you sell a client one product, they're 30% more likely to come back. Two products, it's 60%. And if you sell them three or more products, they're 90% more likely to come back. So I spent many years, I was always just naturally a great salesperson. And people would say, you're great at it, but I'm just not. It's not something that could be taught. But over the years, I've been able to really break it down. And if you learn specifically, you can see that it's very easy to do. And I'm going to start with getting, while you're getting a facial, I think it's important to explain the steps as you go through when you have a customer in your chair, because if you're not telling them what you're doing each step of the way, they're not really valuing it as much and they want to know. So you don't want to be selling throughout a relaxing facial. And again, normally in my North Scottsdale spa, it was a different clientele than people that maybe were at the resort spa that came just with a conference group and their business was paying for everything. And they were never the type of person that would get a facial nor care about skincare. So again, you can use your judgment if somebody immediately in that type of a setting says, I don't want to hear about anything. I just want to relax. Fine. But for me, I really liked having customers long-term because repeat customers instead of people that just ran from out of town, because then you could really get them on a regimen and you could really build a relationship and they could get results with their skin, which it's obviously more gratifying for the esthetician if they're seeing the same person time after time and they're actually making improvements with their skin. So what I would teach my estheticians is when you're doing their cleansing, their steaming, their enzyme, you're telling them each step what you're using. Obviously, you want to look at their skin and give them any feedback. In Arizona, everybody is just dry, dehydrated, sun-damaged skin. So we were always attacking that first, but it pretty much is the same for women like 40 and up. The women that are most likely to get a facial, they're generally not coming in with acne, and this has never been my specialty. So I'm just going to stick to kind of women 40 and up, 35 and up, whatever age you want to say, women that want to look younger. And so basically, and I'll get more into detail with technicalities with skin later. This is more just a sales technique, because if you're not selling, you're not going to be able to sustain your business. And I figured out at one point during my owning my spas in the beginning, and it took me 7 years to really figure out how to pay people, how to charge, how to do all of these things. But if we were charging $85 for a facial and you're paying your esthetician 50% commission, which don't ever do that, I can explain to you in another video how I paid my estheticians and why and how it was a win-win for both of us. But back to going through the steps and when to talk about things and when not. So obviously you do their enzyme under steam. You let them relax while you're doing the massage and while they're laying there under steam, while you're doing the extractions. If you want to be professional, also, it's really important to not talk about your personal life, to not tell stories of your breakup or your weekend or anything whatsoever. I am such a big proponent on that. And as far as massage therapy goes also, no matter how friendly somebody appears to be, because I've been on the other side myself and I try to hold back from saying that I'm an esthetician or that I own spas, but sometimes I let it out and then the whole entire treatment turns into them asking questions. And even though I'm super nice and I'll go through it all, basically answering the questions and talking about it, I'm secretly resentful. Ugh, why did I say anything? So if you have a protocol of professionalism, basically they're going to respect you more if you just give them their peace. So you're going to talk about the products and the steps and what you're doing as you go. And then you're going to have their enzyme and then their mask. And then at the end, when you're taking off the mask and you're doing your final products, like this is where it's important to explain to them what they need and why they need it. And I'm just going to give you a quick example. Like for my spa, like if it were open right now, I would always finish with my magical trio. And so you want to tell people what the serum is, what the, you know, the benefits are. And for example, I would say to finish, I'm going to put on my Lift and Snap serum. It has an ingredient, Argelene, that instantly photoshops lines. It also has vitamins A, C, E, CoQ10, green tea, hyaluronic acid, lightening agents, lavender, peppermint, basically everything you need. So you're going to get instant firming effects, but also over time, it's going to help with brown spots and fine lines. And you're telling people how to use it. Okay, this is so important. So as you're applying it, you're saying, it's super important to always put your serums on first. If you put your moisturizer on first, You know, the serum is never going to penetrate because it's a smaller molecule. So always serums first. What I do is I put it on, let it dry, and then usually I just brush my teeth. It's enough time for it to dry. And then next, I'm going to put on my Unpack Your Bags eye gel. It has lightening agents for dark circles, natural retinol for fine lines, clinically proven to reduce puffiness. And then lastly, I'm going to put on my Marie Magic Moisturizer. And this is obviously while you're putting it on. And again, this has red marine algae from the Hawaiian Islands. It's clinically proven to increase your firmness and hydration. This is the lavender scent. It also comes in lemongrass. And you just want to have a regimen. You could do this day and night, or maybe you're also going to be selling a nighttime regimen. And to not completely overwhelm people, I'll say, I'm going to go ahead and put a little bit of my Nectarine Dream Serum and my Superfood Tangerine Serum and Nectarine Dream Cream on the neck also to finish. I know if you're concerned about your neck area, this has natural collagen peptides, which firm the jawline. It has bamboo and sea kelp, which are the fastest growing plants in nature. So you're going to get that cell turnover. And actually, like, to not overwhelm you, what I do and what I tell most of my clients to do is to do the Magic Pill Trio in the morning, because you're going to get that instant firming, the photoshopping effects, the hydration. And then at night, do this on your full face and neck with the Nectarine Dream Cream. And you could also use the Unpack Your Bags at night. So I'm giving them all the information on what I think they need and why I think they need it. And so then you finish your facial and say, okay, I'll meet you out at the front. Take your time getting dressed, blah, blah. So then you go out to the front desk, and this is what I would train my employees to do. And I've been on the other side of this so many times, and I could tell you, I'm going to give you one quick example. I was at this spa, Marivel, down in Tucson, and it was beautiful. I went with my mom for the weekend, and I got a massage. And during the massage, she told me about this massage magical cream that she was using, and something about it, what's like $60, but she was saying that they sell out of it. She was really hyping it up. And so when I finished the massage, it was in the back of my mind. I was thinking, gosh, I really want that cream. But again, I need a massage, like a body lotion, a $60 body lotion, like a hole in my head. I'm thinking, I'm just spending all this money on the weekend. I really shouldn't spend anymore. But secretly, I wanted it. So I went out to the retail area and I was looking around. And literally, if somebody would have came up and said, can I help you? Is there something you're looking for? I would have asked. If they would have made it easy for me to buy it, I would have bought it. Or even better, if I would have went up to the front desk to pay for my massage and that cream was sitting there and the receptionists were to say, I know that Marissa mentioned this to you. She said you seemed interested. If you wanted to try it, we only have a couple left, whatever, I would have bought it. And it's funny because then it would have been like a little souvenir to my spa day. And every time I put it on, I would have that reminder of that beautiful spa experience. So there's a lot of value to it. But I feel like estheticians, a lot of times if they're younger, or they haven't had the training or experience, they just think they're being pushy if they really recommend a product. So another example of this is I've had treatments done other places. Say I had a random facial somewhere and somebody during the treatment, which it's rare, I find that people recommend anything. They're just too afraid of selling. We all want to know what we could do that's important that would help our skin. If we care enough to be getting a facial, obviously we care about our skin. So basically, they had mentioned something during the treatment. I don't remember what. And when I got up to pay, it was the same scenario, and the esthetician never brought it up again. She didn't mention it at the end of the facial. When I went up to pay, nobody mentioned it. And so in my mind, I was thinking, I wanted to ask more about what that was, but I'm also thinking, I probably don't really need it. And the fact that she didn't make a bigger deal out of it, I felt like it mustn't be that important, because if it was, she would have been like, listen, this is the enzyme, whatever. Like, you need to start using this now. When I see you back in 6 weeks, we're going to see a difference. Like, you have to have that passion and you have to have that enthusiasm for your customer to believe in you. And it makes you look like a better esthetician because you're like, wow, she really knows what she's doing, instead of going through the motions, not really saying much, not really giving any recommendations, and then letting you go out the door. And I get there's different types of spas. Maybe it's Massage Envy. And again, I'm not knocking them. I don't really know what their protocols are, but I've gotten a random facial here or there at a lot of different places over the years. And you can just see by how they handle this aspect, what their training is like. And I just find more often than not, it's very lacking. And maybe they're just not believing in the products, the estheticians that are selling them, because if they were, they would be more excited about getting you on them. Back to what I was saying. So I finished my facial. I've shown my or told my clients what I think they need. I said, go ahead, get ready. I'll meet you at the front. And then I would train my estheticians and I would literally give. We did at least 15 minutes. And for a while, we did towards the end, we did 30 minutes in between appointments for my estheticians because we also offered complimentary makeup with every single facial. And it worked incredibly well. People, no matter what they say, they don't want to leave looking like a train wreck. And my makeup products, everything is all natural, vegan, great ingredients. There's nothing that's going to harm your skin. The whole like, oh, let it breathe. Again, if you get somebody that says that, let them breathe and go. But my clientele in North Scottsdale loved my spa because they always got complimentary makeup afterwards. And it just worked so well. So the esthetician would come out, wait for the client to come, say they're not doing makeup and they're just checking out. Wait for the client to be standing in front of them and then lay out the products that you used on them. So maybe it's the Magical Trio, the lift, the serum, whatever serum you sell, the eye gel, the moisturizer. And I like to have things in sets because then people can think of it as just one decision, two decisions. Do I want both? But when you lay out too many products, there's a positive to it and a negative. If you don't have sets or kits, which I highly recommend, because you can give a little bit of a discount too, and it just becomes easier to say yes. But say you're old school, you're going to lay out your cleanser, your toner, the moisturizer, the serum, whatever it is that you think is their regime should be. But you want to wait until they're standing in front of you and that you have eye contact with them. This is so important. And then you just lay out how to do it. You're not necessarily asking them if they want it or not. You're saying, okay, first thing in the morning, like this is going to be your cleanser. You really should be using it morning and night, or maybe you have two cleansers. This is the one you're going to use at night, the Coco Marine Magical Makeup Remover. It's going to take off all of your makeup, even your mascara. The Jojoba Blast Off Cleanser, it has lactic, glycolic, salicylic. This is so important. Keep it in your shower. You can use it every single day. It's going to keep your skin buffed and polished so that your serums can work better. Okay, so this is just morning and night cleanser. And then now when we get to your Magical Trio, remember I told you first, put the serum on, pump a little in your finger, hit an area, pump a little finger, hit an area until you cover your full face and neck, let it dry. And then we're going to do the Unpack Your Bags eye gel and your moisturizer. And again, we have other stuff too, like the Beauty Ammo Kit I may talk about, but let's just stick with this for the training. So now your customer is going to look at everything you just told them. And if you don't have kits or sets, what they're going to do, what I've seen more often than not, if this is all done correctly, is they're going to say, I just rebought my TNS serum. So I don't need that right now. When I run out, I'll get that. And I did just get an SPF 50. Let's say you showed them your SPF 52, but I'll go ahead and take all of this. So that's how you close your sale. It's more by, what is the word, retraction, like by them elimination, saying, I don't need this or I don't need that. But more often than not, and at least in my demographic, like we were in a really upscale area, and not that we gouged people, like I've always made sure to make my pricing be fair and to have specials and make it easy because nobody wants to just go into a place, especially for the first time, and just pay top dollar and feel like they're getting reamed. At least that's not how I do business. I want people to feel really good about it at the end. So again, you can close closure sale was showing the different sets and telling them the prices and say, you buy these three separately, the Magical Trio, it's like a $200 value. But if you get it in the kit, it's $160. And because this is your first facial today, you get an additional $10 off. So it's $150 for this. Maybe you say that, maybe you don't. But you basically close each of your kits. And then what I do now is I do everything digitally. Well, I'll say, we have your email. I'm going to send you an email tonight that has the exact order of how you do all of this. Or maybe you have something printed up, which would really be even better. I don't have a spa right now, but if somebody was in front of me and they're buying all this stuff, it would be amazing just to have a little simple printout that you hand them, because every person, no matter how many times you told them, they're still not going to know what to do when they get home. And this really is the difference between them loving their products and liking them. So the other thing that we did, and I could expand on this also in later videos, is we sold a lot of series, and women love this. Again, you want them to feel like they're committed to their skin in a long-term journey to get it looking younger. Back in the day, we did a lot of upselling. Say somebody had just booked a facial. Once they get back in the room, obviously almost every facial, my girls would upsell to a brow and lip wax also. That was just a given. Everyone pretty much needs their brows done and lip wax. So that is one way to upsell your services. And another way, and again, this is not pushing and being pushy with people. This is things that women need. They're glad that they got it done. A lot of brow tints, maybe a lash tint, easy upgrades. But if you don't ask, you don't talk about it, you don't expect them to do it, they're not going to know what they're missing, or they're just going to go do it somewhere else. So you got to be prepared with your system. And the more you practice, the more you build up your clients, like my girls did, everything was just a boom. They take somebody back for a facial, nobody came out with just the basic facial, and that's all they got done. And it's not, like I said, just making everything like a bait and switch, because I don't like that either. And I think if you're a smart person, you could read the room. If I sent my mom in somewhere and I paid for it, I don't want somebody sitting there and trying to upsell my mom on all the stuff that she doesn't need or want. So, you know, you have to just offer it, but it's super easy to back down if somebody says no to any of those things. And this is another really important point with sales techniques, is I always am super nice. People are like, you know what? I don't get paid till next Friday, or I really wish I could buy all of it. I totally get it. Oh my God, seriously, I totally get it. We'll write it all down next time, or when you run out, and get on our email list. We do lots of 3-day sales. You can get specials, whatever. And that also reminds me of another really important point as far as professionalism. And again, if you are too buddy with your clients, and I watch this a lot as a spa owner and certain estheticians, and again, 10 years of this, my first probably 5 years, I was just a makeup artist owner, and I had to hire estheticians, and everything they would ask me for, I want this line, I want that line, I want this. I was always trying to please them. And it was tough, because if a mother-daughter came in together and one went to this esthetician, one went to this one might get a hand and foot massage, the other didn't. They talk when they leave. And so, of course, over the years, I learned the importance of protocols and training all the girls so everyone is getting the exact same treatments. And when I developed my spa menu, we have the ultimate spa girl facial and whatever they were, but they would have the exact protocol. So no matter who came in or to which esthetician, they would get the same treatment. But before I learned how to do that, because I wasn't an esthetician, I would hire people. And one of the biggest red flags to me is when you would get an esthetician, I'm thinking of one in particular, And they just become super buddy with the clients. And I don't like it because, number one, it was always a red flag because they would always like have their arm around them as they came in and have their arm around them all the way out to the front door. Don't look around at anything else in here. Whereas my protocol as a spa owner would have been, you come out, then we're going to offer complimentary makeup. Or maybe Vladimir is standing there and wants to talk to them for 5 minutes and say, hey, I'd love to offer you a 15-minute complimentary massage. And I cannot tell you how often that turned into, oh my God, that would be great. They'd go into the massage room. They'd end up selling it and actually staying for the entire massage. And then they would come out and a lot of times they would buy a series of 10 right there. But if Vladimir hadn't offered that and we didn't have a chance to do that because the esthetician is trying to keep control of their client, those types of estheticians need to just be at a salon suites and do that, have at it. But if you're in a full service spa, it's about the customer. It's not about the esthetician keeping control of this person. And more often than not, they would build up their clientele from all the ads and everything that I was doing. I was going over to LA and doing Oscars and these Golden Globes, coming back, doing full page ads of me with all these celebrities. And I was on TV all the time with Dancing with the Stars. And all of this, honestly, was like to build up my spas. And if you don't do that, if you don't create excitement with events, and that's something I could talk to you so much about, you're just going to be looking out the window. And I think there's nothing worse than feeling victimized, like it's slow. How am I going to get clients? There are ways to get clients, proven ways to get clients, but there's also ways to make sure that your spa protocols and your training protocols are going to keep you in the driver's seat. And that's why eventually, after watching these girls come in and do that type of thing and then quit because they won't take any direction and then take all their clients with them, badmouth me in the back or be back in there badmouthing me, like, no, thank you. I eventually learned, and I'll tell you the story super quick. I had an esthetician that basically worked for me. Gosh, I forget what her past. She worked for a doctor, I could swear, before some type of a plastic surgeon. And she claimed to have all this experience with microdermabrasion. And I noticed that she wasn't taking notes in between her clients, and she was just sitting, reading a book without cleaning up her area after. I told this story in my book, Beauty Revival. And I would go to her and say, I'm sorry, like thinking she's been trained to do this. She has to be. I'm like, excuse me, but can you just make sure that you clean your room before you're reading? And her eyes would well up and she's starting to cry. And I'm like, what on earth is this? And just this attitude where she would talk behind my back and said, who does she think she is driving that car, or something about the car that I had, which is like one of the only ways I paid myself at that time. I was like, if I don't get my car payment out of the business first, I was always putting everything back into it. But this same girl, basically, she hurt someone doing microdermabrasion. And I knew, because even before I was an esthetician, like I was trained by the people that invented microdermabrasion out of Germany, but yet I didn't have my license. I couldn't step in. And I knew clearly she just wasn't bracing the skin. And this is important too, because a lot of times people think the doctors are going to train them, but literally the doctors think the girls are coming out of school knowing how to do this. And then if they do get any training at all, even if it's a rep for the machine, a lot of times the reps aren't estheticians. So I've stood there at trade shows and watched reps give demos with the microdermabrasion machine and been like, oh my God, they have no idea what they're doing. So the training is so important. So when I noticed that this girl had given somebody like marks on her face from not, I could see it was from not bracing her skin correctly, doing a microdermabrasion, I was like, okay, you have to go take this class. So I would pay for them to go take a class and make sure that they knew what they were doing. So this girl, I was already watching on high alert, and she still wasn't taking notes in between her clients. So she had finished somebody, they left, and I just went into her room and I was like, hey, Just wanted to make sure that you're making notes about your clients, what levels you're using, all of this. And she literally was like, I don't need this shit. She's, I quit. She's, I made $200,000 last year. And I said, doing what? And she's, that's my business. So I went into my office. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe this. And her next client was sitting, waiting in the waiting area. And I'm like, what am I going to do? So then the esthetician came in, stuck her head in my office and was like, I was a dancer. And I go, okay, that explains it. So whatever. So she stormed out, and that did explain it. I'm sorry. It explains a lot. And later that day, her husband called and was yelling at me, saying that I was the most difficult person to work for. And I literally said, if you were drunk and naked at your last job, you're going to think I'm difficult to work for. And I hung up on him. And then I documented everything, which I had learned by this point, because the lie, the labor board, the state board, blah, blah, and try to get unemployment and do all of these things, lie and say I was waxing when I wasn't licensed. And so I just learned to document it all, tie it all up, send them the letter. It's come to my attention. You're on medication. Crying when being told to do something and walking out in the middle of a shift are inappropriate responses, so that they can't rewrite the story after the fact. And then I have it all documented if anybody does come after me. But here I am. Now I have to go tell this client in the waiting area that her esthetician just stormed off and quit. And funny enough, it was a super sweet girl, and she laughed and thought it was funny and was so nice. And she actually went on to become a good friend, and then eventually even my spa director. And we still have jokes this day where we would say we wish we'd be in my office, and we'd hear somebody coming in like complaining or whatever, and we'd say we wish we had a trap door in the bottom where we could just disappear and eat cookies and drink wine. But anyways, after that girl did that, I was like, okay, I just got to bite the bullet and go get my aesthetics license, because I can't be stuck here beholden to these people and their moods and whims and unethical employee freaking protocols. So I went to aesthetics school, and literally it took me about, I don't know how many months, 7 months, and it was brutal. And I would have to get up at whatever time, 5 a.m., 6 a.m., leave my house at 7 a.m., get there at 8 to 3, leave at 3, get to my spa at 4 o'clock. And I lost so much business because I wasn't overseeing everything. But at the end of all of that, I was able to rebuild. And what I learned was just to hire girls straight out of school, young girls, and I would pay them hourly. And I would also give them commission on services, commission on product sales. And what I did was I made everyone be like a team player, and everyone had to start out learning the reception desk first so that everybody knew how everything ran in the spa. And then whenever they had breaks or free time, we would schedule them being trained with the protocols, with the facials, and also with makeup. Every single esthetician was trained also to do the complimentary makeup and to be a makeup artist. And it worked really well when I did this team thing. And one of my estheticians made, her W-2 was $96,000. And this was without her tips. And this was after probably 3 years of working for me, took time. But she, everything I did, she did by the books protocol. Every client, she left the space in between to go touch up their makeup. Every client she sold series to, microderm photo facial packages, where her clients were in every Friday or maybe every other week. And every time they're buying products, they're getting their makeup touched up. Eventually, all of these people would convert to my makeup line. And it just worked really well. And again, when you have the hourly wage, they don't have this attitude like, I'm going to sit on the couch and read a book. No, there's always something that can be done. And I had just such a great team the last 3 years. I had the most amazing girls. And if I said, hey, if somebody wants to leave early because it's summer, it's slow, they would fight and say, no, you go. No, I'll stay. You go. They could not have been cuter, sweeter, nicer, more respectful because, again, I had the power position of knowing what I was doing and training them and saying, this is how it all has to be. And I also learned by this point, like not to be friends with them. And the friend element going back to as a professional, whether you're touching up makeup, whether you're the facial. The other thing that happens when you get too friendly with people is it just makes them it makes it way too easy for them to not buy anything, to not take anything seriously. And I watched it because we would do complimentary makeup touch-ups and everyone would buy like a lipstick at least. But I trained all my girls to where most people would buy everything you put on them. And that's how it usually is with me because I just have it down. I solve all their problems. I make it quick and easy and they want it all. So it's a no-brainer. If you're fast, you're easy, you know, they want it. But literally, if you sit there and instead of talking about what you're doing, the products that you're using and zeroing in on that, and instead they're talking about the wedding or their weekend, they're asking you this, you're all ready. They finish, they get down, they're like, oh, it was so great meeting you. You're buddy buddies, but it's super easy for, oh, well, I'm going to think about all this. Whereas if you keep it focused on what you're doing, they're going to take it a lot more seriously and they will buy something. And again, if people don't have money, they're like, I can't afford it. You're not going to bleed a turnout. It's okay. Now they know. Now they've seen all of your stuff. Now when they do run out of their foundation, they're not going to go to Nordstrom. They're going to come back and get yours. So it's, you're always planting seeds, whether they buy something or not. But again, I've seen it. And what I always do is say somebody's with a friend and I'm touching up makeup. And if the friend and them are talking to each other and not listening to me, I literally will stop what I'm doing and I'll just wait until I have their attention again. And I'll be nice about it and say, I just don't want you to miss anything I'm doing because I'm super fast and you're going to be overwhelmed or you're going to miss half the steps. And it's commanding that respect and keeping your professionalism. And then after people say, I want this or I want it all, you know, now you're wrapping it up, you're organizing it, you're showing them what to do. And then this is the time you can start small talking and be like, all right, do you have any plans tonight? Gosh, your makeup's all done. Hopefully you're going to go to happy hour. Now you can be buddy. And over time, you do get to know people. Of course, you're going to ask how they're doing and know stuff about their life. But if you think that being friendly is the way to get them to buy products, to get them to appreciate your expertise, that's not the way, is to keep that wall up of professionalism so they continue to see you in the light of the professional. So anyways, I have so many other tips and stories and things to share, but I don't want this video to get too long. So I hope that you enjoyed this. And again, I hope that you'll subscribe to all of my platforms. My Beauty Revival is on Apple, Spotify. If you go to my website, mbyork.com, you can see right at the top is the podcast for the audio. And then my YouTube channel is mbyork.beauty. You're probably watching me on YouTube right now. If you can subscribe, that would be amazing. And I think I'm going to try to do a little sub playlist for spa, salon, building, aesthetics, and all of that. So you can follow along. And anyways, I so appreciate you listening and I want to help you succeed. So thank you so much. I'll see you next time. That's a wrap on today's episode of Beauty Revival. Remember, true beauty starts in the mind and spirit. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12:2. If today's message spoke to you, share this episode with a friend who needs a little beauty revival in their life. And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. It helps more women just like you step into their God-given glow. For more inspiration, beauty tips, and faith-fueled empowerment, connect with me on Instagram at mbyork.beauty and check out my website, mbyork.com. Until next time, stay radiant, stay revived, and let's glow.